running the Irish green, and look at the move he's making down to the inside. He moves to the front from fifth all the way to the lead in lap one. Walsh takes win number two.
Peter.
Walsh.
And we are back, ladies and gents. Today we are talking about Drive to Survive, Season 2, Episode 1, baby. It is really starting to get, what would you say, the heat's turning up here in Drive to Survive. And just to let you know, guys, anybody listening on the podcast, we have a live TikTok audience today. And anybody listening on TikTok, we're going to go through most of it, really, because there's a lot to go through. If you have any questions, guys, on TikTok, we'll get to it at the end, and I'll hopefully answer as many as I can, if you're still watching, of course. But definitely, we're going to go just roll on through with the notes and information. So, guys, I have done podcasts on season one and all episodes 1 to 10 already, and definitely very dramatic. Check them out. I've got them all on a playlist as well on YouTube, so if you're interested and if they are interesting to you, you can watch 1 to 10 back to back, and it's good fun. Drive to Survive is great fun. Like I've said before, it is 85% accurate. So if this is your first time, we're starting off at season 2 and episode 1. And it's a really good one, guys. And I like this one because, again, here we go with the bitching. Especially Gunther Haas. Wait until we get to Gunther Haas. Because we saw this bitching and moaning from Gunther in season 1. Where he absolutely devoured Romain Grosjean in front of his team. Right, you don't do that. Like, I always talk about standards. And if a driver's not performing to his standards, well, then you gotta do something with him. You either motivate him, you have a sit down and chat with him, or you replace him. Or, well, what you don't do, what you don't do is start taking the mickey out of him in front of your whole team. That is just so far over the edge. It doesn't cause any positivity in the team. And, like, I'm very fair here, right? If a guy's not performing, well, tough shit. I'm not going to give you any poor little victim, right? I'd be a hard ass with this stuff because I was very hard on myself when I was racing. However, you don't cross the line and start making fun of the guy in front of the whole team because you don't know who's going to be laughing at you, right? I mean, poor Romain Grosjean in season 1, and we're going to show you some more here in season 2 here. Romain Grosjean, they're all at a dinner, and Kevin Magnussen is even there as well with his girl. They're all there. And then Gunther starts making complete fun of him. Romain Grosjean is not even there to defend himself. But again, he is there because he's going to be watching this on Netflix. Gunther Haas, man, I tell you, as entertaining as he is, he's horrible every now and then. He's horrible. But anyway, let's get into season two, episode one. So we start off with Hamilton, and it's actually quite funny because this happens a lot in racing, where Hamilton and Toto, they're at the start of season 2, episode 1. They're saying, "Hi, my name is Lewis Hamilton, and I race for Mercedes." Da, 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 da. Toto does the exact same. Now, many of you probably know what I'm talking about if you've seen Drive to Survive. And it's funny because Hamilton starts saying it. "Hi, my name is Lewis Hamilton, and I drive for Mercedes." But, and I think he gets it wrong, right? And he goes, "Oh, shit, hang on. Did I say that right?" So in other words, he's trying to officially, and that's what happens in racing, you do try and officially name out the full entire team along with your new main sponsor. So he was meant to say Mercedes Petronas team. Petronas would be the main sponsor. Now, to me, that obviously tells you that they just got the sponsor on board, maybe only a few even weeks or even days before the main first race. So, in fairness, you know, it was just a funny thing. It was something that it could easily happen to your team or yourself. Toto even does the same thing. Did I say that right? I mean, hilarious. The two of them got it wrong. Especially for Toto. If anybody should be getting it wrong, like you'd expect Lewis, but Toto getting it wrong? Jeez, hilarious. So anyway, yeah, so that's the main thing about that behind the scenes, guys, is that if you're in a Netflix program like they are, and they're announcing the team, they really want to make sure they get it right. And I know it's such a small thing, right? And you'd think, well, who cares if they leave it out? But you got to give your main sponsor as much coverage and mentions as possible, right? It's on their baseball cap, the sponsorship. It's on the racing driver's suit, the Petronas. It's on the mechanic's overalls, right? The pit lane guys. This stuff is very, very important. And that's why Hamilton and Toto did go, oh God, what did I say that right? You know, so at the same time, it's funny for us watching though. So where do we go from here? So at the start of season two, it's kind of a good montage, I suppose, really. They're showing the bit of highlights of season one, and then they're showing now what could be in store for season two. And then they show the team setting up. And I thought this was a very interesting one here, because they do show the teams arriving at a track, taking the cars out, taking all the equipment out of the trucks. And a lot of people don't know this, that the teams would get to a race weekend on the Monday of the week. So let's say there's a race weekend this weekend coming. They'd be there on the Monday. So they're there for a full 7 days, guys. And the amount of work, the mechanics, the truck drivers, a huge amount of work. I mean, a lot of people don't even know as well that you'll have the truck drivers. Now, they're not just truck drivers most of the time. These guys would be involved in setting up the backdrops and making the pit garages look really presentable and look, you know, as sexy as they can, right? They would be responsible for setting up all those interiors that you'd see on TV. Like, you'd be amazed, actually, how bare-looking pit garages do look before the F1 teams roll in, or even the F2 teams, or even the F3 teams. So it's a huge setup. So the truck drivers could be driving overnight. Now they'd have to stop. I think there's like a limit on driving these trucks to like 6 hours, and then you got to stop for an hour, maybe two, and then go again. Now I could be completely wrong on the hours there, but there is a certain limit. Then they'd have to go again. I mean, these guys could be driving from, like, let's say Red Bull. You could have Red Bull team. They're in, oh God, brain fart now. I think they're in Brackley in England. Anyway, they're in England somewhere. And when they leave the factory, these guys could be getting on, the truck drivers now. They're bringing the cars in the trucks, all the equipment from the UK, a ferry over to France or wherever it is. And then driving from the top of France all the way down to the southern point of Italy for Monza, or they could be going over to Germany. I mean, huge mileage. Now, of course, for the overseas races, you'd have them obviously transporting the cars on flights. So that would be a big thing as well. But huge amount of setup, guys, and it would be nice actually to see a bit more of that. You do see a bit of it, guys, if you check it out on YouTube. I think what you'd look for is Formula One teams setting up pre-race. I think it's something like that, right? But you'll find something on YouTube, and it does give you a bit of an insight, in fairness, which is very interesting. You know, it's not all about the driver here. And that's why you always want a driver being a team player, that he always appreciates the team. He always thanks the team. And very, very important, because it ain't just about the driver in the background. It's not just about the engineer. It's not just about Toto Wolff, the team boss, or Christian Horner, the team boss. There's a lot of people that deserve a round of applause or a pat on the back. So anyway, let's move on, guys. So then we go from there over to Christian Horner. And now they're talking, now you see, now we have here where Daniel Ricciardo was in Red Bull the year before, as we see in season one. And now he's gone to Renault. So now they're trying to find out, how does Christian feel? So Christian starts off by saying, and this is where the bullshit comes in now, guys, right? I can read between the lines being an ex-racing driver. Trust me on this one. Christian is saying, well, we kind of feel Daniel could have stayed with us, but we felt like he was running from a fight. Then they flash over to Daniel Ricciardo, and Daniel's saying, I wasn't running from a fight. I needed to do it. Now, who do you believe? Well, I know what's happening here. Christian Horner is full of it. He's actually just kind of given Daniel a bit of a finger here, because he wasn't running from a fight, because Christian Horner knows at the end of the day, Christian Horner was putting all his attention in Max Verstappen. And Daniel Ricciardo realized it, knew it. He said, that's it. We're done. I'm not going to be the number one guy here anymore. I'm not even a huge fan of Daniel Ricciardo, but I'm batting for him here on this one. Every racing driver has been in that scenario where you've been the number one or you've been the number two, depending on how long, but we've all been in that scenario. And Ricciardo picked up on this. He knew this ain't going anywhere, guys. They're favoring Max. And even the crash they had in Azerbaijan there in season one, I think it was episode two, but sorry, guys, I can't remember exactly which episode it was now, but they had a big crash. Max boots it or lunges up the back of Ricardo's car. The two boys go off and Ricardo got the blame for it. Believe me, I've been there too. Done that, worn the t-shirt. That stuff happens in racing. And not just to me or Ricardo, other racing drivers. So I know exactly what Daniel Ricciardo was saying here. He wasn't running from a fight. He was actually trying to fight. And he wants to get into a competitive car so he can be competitive and he can fight for the championship. That's what he was doing here. Now, I gotta say, then Christian says, well, Christian talks about Max and he says, well, you know, Max has now really stepped up another gear now this year, or last year. No, he hasn't. Max has the same pace, same qualifying pace, same race pace. Christian is just overblowing it. And guys, you know, if you're thinking, well, geez, you've got a problem about Max, I'm a Max Verstappen fan. Okay? I cheer on Max Verstappen. Now, Alonso would be my favorite, but Max Verstappen, if he's winning, I'm like, yes, here we go. But I'm being fair. I have to be fair. Now, then we flash over, and this is like, I can't even believe I'm going to say this about Will Buxton. If anybody's heard my first couple of episodes in season one, I've been talking about this Will Buxton guy. He drives me nuts. He's full of crap. He does know his information, but he doesn't know what it's like to be a race car driver. He doesn't know what the racing world is really like. He just knows his information, and he's just an exaggerator. However, this is the first time I agree with the man. Can't even believe I'm saying that about Will Buxton. He says, Will Buxton says, Max is the young guy they want to win the championship as a junior driver. Daniel knows this. So what does Will Buxton mean when he says that? Now, I've actually said this before in my recent podcast last year. And I was even talking to somebody I know in the racing world only last year. And we were talking about Max the way he's the number one. And they were saying, yeah, my buddy here, he said, well, look, obviously they want to do what they did with Vettel. Vettel won four world championships with Red Bull. And they want to repeat the exact same thing with Max Verstappen. And Sebastian Vettel was the young driver. Red Bull were the main sponsor of the team, obviously. They love this young driver coming through, the young world champion, right? It just adds to their brand. It looks fantastic for them. And you can't blame Red Bull, of course. If it looks fantastic for the team, or the company, sorry, it looks fantastic for the company. So no fault there on their own. Absolutely not. And it's very geared. Red Bull is a very geared, driven team to having a junior world champion. And it played into their hands with Sebastian Vettel. It's now playing into their hands with Verstappen on three world championships already. He's looking really good for this year again in 2024. But it's still early in the year of 24. So, but yeah, I have to admit, Will Buxton hit it on the head on that one. He's absolutely on the ball. He just came straight out with it. I couldn't believe he was actually so direct and blunt about it. It's quite amazing. Now, here's an interesting one too. Now we get into Christian Horner talking about the Honda relationship. Now, if anybody is, maybe you're not up to speed on this, in season one in Drive to Survive, Red Bull were using the Renault engines. Now then they realized, Red Bull, that they're not going to get the same equipment that the Renault team would give themselves, right? I mean, that makes sense. Of course it does. If you're a Renault team and you've got a Renault Formula One team out there and you're making engines for you and Red Bull, well, you're obviously going to give the better engine to yourself, right? Of course you're going to do that because you're competing too. No one's going to argue with that. Now, in fairness, Christian Horner wasn't arguing with that in season one. He just wanted more input. He wanted more to be more active and interact, engage more with that engine, get more hands-on with it, which is totally understandable. He's not expecting that he's going to get the number one engine. He knows this. He's not an idiot. He definitely wanted to be more hands-on, and you can't blame him for that. He wanted Adrian Newey and himself to work very close. Adrian Newey would have really come on board and stepped in with this one, because Adrian Newey would have to try and get the balance of the car, engine versus chassis, chassis versus engine, where it's the mechanical grip or the aerodynamical grip, and both together, working with that engine. So it would have definitely been a tremendous help if Renault would have given them more, I suppose you could call it access. That would have been, that's probably the better word, really. So Christian does say that there's a lot of pressure now, right? If they don't get the results with Honda, Honda won't be around very long. If they don't get the results with Red Bull itself, Red Bull wouldn't be around very long. So, you know, they're really going into deep waters here. They don't know what kind of engines they're going to get with Honda at the start of the year. It's hard to know. It's very hard to know for Christian Horner. So, very understandable for Christian Horner that he's going to be nervous about that, of course. But, I mean, he is right when he says that, and he's telling you the truth. Like, Red Bull are the main sponsor. Like, maybe people didn't know this. Red Bull don't actually own the team. They're the main sponsor. And they've branded the car to make it look like they possibly own the team, if people think that. And that's fair enough. I mean, one would imagine that, oh, it's a Red Bull car. It's actually not a Red Bull car. It's an Adrian Newey and Christian Horner car. Very, very important to get the results in. You can see the amount of commitment that Red Bull have invested and the money that they've invested in motorsports. They sponsor F3 teams. They sponsor F2 teams. They sponsor the Formula One team. It's a big, big business for Red Bull being involved in motor racing, which is great to see because, look, it keeps the lights on, keeps the wages paid for everybody, and people need it to keep going. So then we go over to back to Drive to Survive. Now here we get into Gunther. Oh, God, Gunther Steiner, what do we say about this guy? What do we say about this guy? I was only just saying this before at the start of the episode. Gunther just taking the mickey out of his driver. This time he does it in front of Roman Grosjean and in front of the whole team. He says they're in the Haas factory. Everybody's there. Two drivers, Gunther, and all the mechanics and engineers, etc., sitting in the audience. And of course Gunther shouts out, most of you guys, you're a joy to work with, most of you. And then he looks at Roman, and then he barely speaks to him, and then as he's looking at Roman, it's hard to make out exactly what he's saying next, but all the crowd go, oh, right. I've known race team owners like this, that they take the piss out of their driver. I've seen it. I've seen them do it to other drivers. It's not nice, man. It's not nice because it doesn't cause any positivity in the team. And you could say, yeah, well, they have to suck it up. No, the driver's got to suck it up and bring results to the table. And if he's not bringing results, well, screw him. You either replace him or you have a sit down with him one-on-one away from everybody. But taking the piss out of him in front of the whole team, that's going way, way too far. And I don't know why Gunther's doing this, man. It doesn't do anything for anybody. Why? I don't get why he's doing this. Well, we're going to see more of this as we go along on Drive to Survive, guys, anyway. Because we've seen this in Season 1, when they're all around at a dinner on the Saturday night before a big race. And then he does it now in the factory, so I'm delighted Netflix are showing this. And I remember even going forward into the remaining few seasons here, it gets worse with Gunther. It gets worse. Entertainment for us, yes. But I have to say my heart goes out to Grosjean, because I know what that's like. I've got a couple of jabs from a couple of team owners, but not for long, but one or two. But I've seen other drivers, really. I've seen them suffer with this. And I've seen drivers walk back into a team after they got the mickey taken out of them, and they actually feel like they're an enemy in the team. It's almost like a different driver from a different team is walking into their team and going, "Who the hell are you?" Or that's how he feels. Not good. Not good. But hey, there's a lot more to come from Gunther anyway. So then we flash over to a big result for Honda and Red Bull. And as we can see in Season 2, Episode 1, they're starting in Adelaide in Australia. And first round of the year, they finished third on the podium. So Verstappen gets the third. Good result. Definitely would take a lot of pressure off Red Bull for that. It wasn't a win, but you have to remember they're up against Mercedes here. And Mercedes are completely dominant here. Completely dominant. So it's a good start to the year for them. That's for sure. And it's certainly going to give them a little bit of momentum going through to the remaining part of the year. So anyway, guys, that is Season 2, Episode 1. I think it was very, very good. Again, it just shows you more bitching, more crap in the background. That's just not on from team owners. And we see more of this. We've seen Christian Horner do it in Season 1. We're going to see more of Gunther Steiner doing it again as we go on. We're going to see Toto Wolff do it. We're going to see all the other team bosses start bitching and moaning. Not as bad as Gunther, I would say, in terms of taking the piss out of your team driver, in front of the whole team. Very, very disappointed with him. So, anyway, guys, that's Season 2. Guys, we're going to stay on TikTok here and have a chat to you after we finish the podcast here. And, guys, we will be back with more Drive to Survive. Anytime we're not covering the Formula 1, we'll be doing Drive to Survive every Monday and Friday. We're covering motorsport every Monday and Friday for the 2024 year and season. So if it's not Formula 1, it's going to be Drive to Survive. This is Season 2, Episode 1. Coming up next, Episode 2. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye-bye.
Walsh running the Irish green, and look at the move, he's making down to the inside. Moves to the front from fifth all the way to the lead in lap one. Walsh takes win number two.
Peter. Walsh. 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 Walsh.